giving thanks, greeting winter, and making plans. It's season 2020, episode 37, Grow Great, the podcast. My name is Randy Cantrell. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio. Coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. You can find all the show notes and related material over at the website, growgreat.com. The air is clear, but cool. It's about 40 degrees. I'm staring at some woods. I'm watching some chipmunks and squirrels and all kinds of birds flitter around. Chilling out, for me, it means exhaling. Well, it means inhaling, too. Just slowly, deliberately, you know, but naturally. The kind of breathing that just helps melt away whatever may be vexing a person's emotions or thoughts. You know this feeling. It's that feeling right there. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be in the moment. I'm thankful for the people who surround me, mostly for my wife of almost 43 years. But you know, the list of things that I'm thankful for, it seems to extend exponentially every year. I'm supposing that this is because of age and that it happens with age. And it's just, let me just give you a sample of some things for which I'm thankful, things that have made an enormous difference in my life. Christian grandparents and parents, a legacy of faith and fidelity is the most priceless gift I've ever been given. A godly woman who accepted my proposal when we were, well, just kids, many, many years ago, and she remains the best woman, certainly one of the best women that I've ever known. Family, including 5 grandkids who are healthy and growing. Well, they're growing up surrounded by people, adults, who are trying to show them the very best way to live their life. Old men. I'm thankful for old men who taught me so much and inspired me to be, well, to now be that old man for other people. I talked about it in the last show, episode 36. As I hit the record button today, it's December the 1st, Tuesday, 2020, and I'm hearkening back to last week, which was Thanksgiving week, when I'm sitting here in this 40-degree air on a morning. I'm blessed physically, materially, and financially, but those are things that do not top my list. Well, okay, physically, if you include health, yes, that's obviously near the top. But the truth is, you know, if they crack the top 10, if we exclude health from physically, meaning the stuff that you have, the lifestyle that you live, you know, we're working folks. My wife and I, we're working folks. And I'm suspecting that most of you are working folks. Financial independence has never really been the goal. We've raised a family. We've been able to live more comfortably than the majority of the planet, and I'm thankful for that, but not more than the people who have made such a dramatic contribution to helping me grow and improve and make the necessary corrections along the way. Whatever I've got and whatever lifestyle we've had, it pales in comparison to the people who have entered my life and who still exist in my life, who make a huge, huge, huge difference. You know, when you dwell on gratitude, does it provoke you to think of things that you desperately wish were different? Yeah, me too. Everybody experiences grief and sorrow and sadness and loss, and here during the holidays, we see and we hear stories about it. You know, I won't recount it, but there have been countless stories of famous and not so famous people who have passed away, some over the Thanksgiving holiday last week, some since, and there are sure to be more before we get to the New Year day. And sometimes, as with the death of the old men in my life, I'm able to embrace this quote from Dr. Seuss that I so love: "Don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened." But, you know, sometimes the loss is different. And sometimes I'm not able to ever smile about the loss. I mean, I can just cry. And you've got some things in your life that are like that. You've got some things that lay you low when you dwell on them. And you've got some things that, Well, you're not crying because it's over. You're crying probably because it's not over. And there's no reason to smile because it happened, because you wish like crazy that it would never have happened. As you grow older, sloping toward being old, you encounter peers. And you encounter peers who have some heartbreaking stories, stories of loss and regret and sorrow. And it's why I encourage you to find a place. Now, this may be a physical place, but this may be just some ideal place that you create in your mind, some place where you can just exhale, a place where you get to find a respite from that pain, the kind of pain that you're powerless to do anything about except to find some path forward for yourself. You know, these stories that I hear, they always involve somebody, usually a family member, who made or is making extraordinarily high-priced choices. These are the heartbreaking stories for me. Such stories typically involve drug abuse, maybe criminal behavior, maybe even imprisonment, maybe the loss of a good name, and just so many negative consequences that impact millions and millions of families around the world. And I listen to these stories that people share about their pain, a pain that they simply just have to manage some way, somehow. And I'm made to better understand the universal reality that sin and bad judgment and foolishness and selfishness, it impacts all of us, every single one of us. Grow Great is the URL. Grow Great is the name of this podcast. And people sometimes will ask me, well, how do you measure greatness? And I always respond the same way, and I'm not trying to be snarky, which is my nature, but I always respond the same way, and that is, it depends. It depends. Mostly it depends on what we're talking about. When it comes to human life, it's not the same as a business process. Now, I thrive on finding ways to be more effective. I thrive on finding ways to be more efficient. Take a look at the activities inside an organization, and it is easy to find ways to improve. And I could go on for a long, long time and share with you stories, and many of them I have shared in the past on this podcast, of specific things that I have done in the various leadership roles that I have served in business, to try to distill all the cumbersome things that go on to try to get it down to something that is much, much more efficient. It's just my natural bent to look for these kinds of things, ways that we can work better at growing great. Listen to the stories of bad human behavior, and we mostly use the same terms to describe it. I hear these terms when I'm talking with leaders who have some vexing, usually personal thing happening in their life. And it's often a child. It's often one of their children who's just completely gone off the rails. And you hear words like wasted, a wasted life. Well, nothing is sadder. How do you measure greatness in a human life? Well, I can think of some ways worth thinking about, but I don't claim to have precise wisdom about it. One way goes back to the things that I'm thankful for, the folks who had such a profoundly positive impact on my life, people who made me better, well, people who tried to, people who refused to let me just go any old way that I might want to go, people who loved me enough to steer me in ways that would help me improve, help me mature, help me grow, people who were unwilling to just simply be cheerleaders as I leaned into selfishness and immaturity and willful behavior that could destroy me, people that are doing kind of what we're doing as a group that surrounds my grandkids, people willing to challenge these young people to consider their consequences so that they can learn to make better choices. And in my life, and I suspect in your life too, those were people, and they still are people, who make measuring greatness in your life vastly easier. I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for the great people in my life. Oh, you don't likely know their names unless you heard me talk about them here, because they're not famous. They're not noteworthy for having done great things as we usually measure greatness. But boy, they made a big difference in my life, and they made a big difference in the lives of other people as well. You know, I'm sitting here on this cold morning, and as the chipmunks scurry from rock to rock, it's easy to tell that winter's coming. And within just a few days, we've been forecast to have our first freeze. And in fact, well, we did. We had it last night. And it won't be long now until the nights are very cold and the days are going to require, well, it doesn't take much for a day to require a wool cap for me. The critters, they know winter is coming. And they're fattening up. They're storing food away. They're doing whatever these particular kind of critters do to survive during the coming months. And I'm supposing that these critters might be thankful for whatever food they're finding right now. Some of them will not survive the winter. And I'm wondering if a lack of preparation is going to cost some of them. So these animals who act out of instinct, I'm wondering, do some of them make stupid choices like we do? Are some of them careless like we're careless? Do some of them neglect to think about the negative consequences of their choices? I don't know. I'm supposing, I mean, come on. I watch them and I suspect, you know, I mean, is that squirrel right there as sharp as this other squirrel 20 feet away? I mean, are they all created completely equal? I'm supposing that some are going to pay a price. Others, I suspect, like us, are going to suffer through no fault of their own. Age is going to catch up with some of them this winter. Sickness may strike some others. And still others, they're just going to be a tad too slow, and they're going to become food for a predator. Things happen. As winter approaches, I watch these animals go about their morning business on this cold morning, and I wonder what they're thinking. I wonder what they may be thankful for. I wonder what their plans might be as they hunker down in their own way, knowing that colder weather is coming and knowing that today counts. You know, it puts my life in perspective watching these critters work diligently today as they start a new day. And mostly I suspect that they're doing what they do every day. They're just working to make life continue today. Likely not making any long-term plans. I mean, it doesn't appear that they are. And yet, nests get created. Spots to hunker down at night get built in the daytime. I mean, maybe they're not making any plans at all, but it seems to me that they're making some plans. And I get that survival is the main thing, but watch squirrels chase each other in the morning. Watch birds or chipmunks do the same thing, chase each other, and you realize that there's a lot of play involved as well. There's a lot of us, right? There's a lot of community as well, even if there's just two of them. I'm trying to keep my socked feet warm this morning, but I don't yet feel like putting shoes on. So I wrap a blanket around my feet, and I'm sitting here in an outdoor screened porch with a radiant heater that provides just enough relief and warmth to make it tolerable to wear flannel. But I'm thinking about these critters that I'm watching. And I'm thinking of what I might learn from them. And mostly, I got to tell you, I'm wishing that I was this nimble and this agile. I mean, they're quite athletic. It dips below freezing for the first time since last winter. And it does that last night here in north central Texas. And some great things happen when the first freeze arrives. Mosquitoes disappear. You know, and in this part of the country, that's a priority. It's a big plus. But the skies are about as blue as they ever get when the clouds clear. And when the clouds clear, there are many days when there is not a single cloud in the sky. It's just nothing but blue skies. My father, who's now 97 and a World War II vet, he has told me all of my life that during his days stationed in England, gloomy, rainy, cloudy England, during the war, he would tell the Brits about the blue sky days back home, where you couldn't even see a single cloud in the sky. And he said the Brits never did believe him. They didn't believe that there was such a place on the planet that you didn't have any cloud in the sky. But it was true, and it is still true. And it's especially true when winter comes. So I'm sitting here, and I'm making notes. I'm making plans. And not just for this new month, December, but longer term. I'm making plans for the new year, and I'm making plans for the next couple of years. You know, it seems like a good time to get more concrete in what I would like to make happen, well, or at least the things that I'd like to influence more heavily to happen. I know there's no guarantees. Time is going to tell whether any of our plans are going to come to fruition, but come on, we got to give it our best shot. My dad is clearly in the winter of his life at the age of 97, but he still has plans, he still has dreams, he still has goals. I mean, come on, one never knows the moment when life here is going to end. But based on the odds, well, I'm clearly in the fall of my own life with winter coming up real fast. My plans aren't likely going to quite mirror my father's, but I suspect few of us have identical plans. Generically, I'm supposing that we all plan for life to be better, for business to be stronger, for the financial windfalls to be larger, for our lifestyles to be improved, for our health to remain well or better if it's not well. We plan for things to be better. We want to plan for things to be better. We don't really want to plan for things to be worse. What are your plans? How specific are your plans? Do you have planned strategies to help you get there? Do you have processes, specific actions that you're going to take to advance you forward toward your ideal outcome? In the second half of 2020 this year, I have become increasingly fixated on the anticipation of the ideal outcome. You've heard me talk about it in previous episodes, and I'm going to talk about it more in future episodes. The anticipation of the ideal outcome. For starters, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. It's worth being world class. It's at least worth trying to be world class. And if that's the ideal outcome, then how much more fun is it to chase that than it is to just simply get up in the morning and pursue mediocrity? Then why don't more of us do that? I've got theories, but I'm not positive. I suspect too many of us don't think it's possible. And so we kind of talk ourselves out of trying to be world-class before we even begin to think too seriously about it. Others of us may be, well, just too lazy because we think, I don't want to put in that. That's a lot of work. I don't want to put in that kind of work. I mean, it's that old enemy, good enough. You know, that's good enough. It's not very good, but it's good enough. All I know is this: winning is so much more fun than losing. I was taught when I was young, a team goes onto the field to play, and the sport being talked about in the context was football, 4 15-minute quarters. So you got 60 minutes of a game. At the end of 60 minutes, one team is going to be celebrating and elated, and the other team, after 60 minutes, is going to be in a funk and depressed and filled with regret and sadness. Both teams invested 60 minutes. Why wouldn't you want the former outcome? Being superior is so much more fun than being average. And for me, it's worth the effort. It's worth the sacrifice. Planning for success and superior performance, it's not a guarantee. There's no guarantees that we'll achieve it. But I can guarantee this. I can guarantee that if you don't plan for it, if you don't put in the work to achieve it, you won't find it. That's a surefire bet. I'm ending the year. I'm ending 2020 more optimistic than I have been in a long time. And no, it's got not one thing to do with the White House. It has not one thing to do with which party is wielding the most power in the Senate or Congress. No, it's a choice. Pure and simple, it is a choice. Few things are more powerful than a mind made up. Mark that down. Few things are more powerful than a mind made up. And that includes a foolish mind, determined to live as stupidly as one can. It includes a wise mind determined to be as profitable as possible as well. I have a hobby podcast. You may have checked it out, and if you haven't, well, give it a shot. It's over at leaningtowardwisdom.com, and it's one that I started when my kids were in high school many, many moons ago. Because a lifetime goal has been to lean increasingly more away from my own foolishness. Yes, I have plenty of it, and more toward wisdom. And so I began that podcast a long, long time ago. It's a work in progress. Well, early this year, before the pandemic arrived, I made up my mind that I was going to embrace optimism as much as I possibly could. Yeah, it's sometimes a struggle. I don't want to lie to you. Now, this isn't some rose-colored glasses kind of idealism. This is true, genuine optimism that might, heavy emphasis on that word, might drive me to behave in ways that best suit achieving something better. That's the goal. And I've long argued that there's just no downside to optimism, and occasionally people will challenge me and say, oh, yeah, there is. And I'm, okay, what is it? Disappointment. And I'm like, well, you're going to be disappointed anyway. We're all disappointed. It's no reason to not be optimistic. So I got very precise. I got very clear. Precision provides a vision that's very different than some generic kind of a viewpoint. I mean, if you dream of doing something and your vision is general, it's nonspecific, it's not likely going to serve you very well. But to get down to the nitty-gritty details of the thing, whatever that thing may be, that fuels us. Neuroscience has proven that as human beings, we have this capacity to insert ourselves into situations that we have never, ever before been in. We've never experienced this. And vivid imagination works to give our brains the same reactions and sensations and chemical reactions as when we are really actually experiencing those things. In other words, our minds don't know the difference between real and imagined, at least in some sense. Well, get your head wrapped around that. That's a pretty powerful thing, to know that we have the capacity to think about something with clear, vivid, detailed imagination, and by doing that, we insert ourselves into a reality which just might fuel our actions and our behaviors to help make that happen. Again, no guarantees that it's going to happen, but we certainly put ourselves in a better position to perform in ways that can make it happen. And that's where the pursuit of the ideal outcome begins in our head. So get very clear, get very detailed about your desired outcomes. Make them measurable, make them concrete. Avoid vagueness, avoid the generic. Be as precise as you can. And now answer the question, how am I going to proceed? And yes, that includes asking, who can help me get there? Now again, precision pays. Make concrete next steps. What's the first thing you're going to do? Okay, then what are you going to do? Now, if you're like me, and most of the rest of us mere mortals, you'll likely not find every step works as well as you had hoped or planned. Okay, that's fine. So you know what we're going to do. Yeah, we're going to adjust. Embrace it. It's part of the process of learning and growing and improving. We figure things out as we go. What we thought we knew when we started, well, guess what? We quickly learn, okay, I didn't have that quite right. I may have had it colossally wrong. No problem. Now we have a chance to fix it and get it right so that we can plan the next steps. Life is that constant, never-ending quest of getting it right or wrong so we can keep figuring it out. And I got news for you. My father, who's 97, he's still working on trying to figure some things out. My plans for the rest of 2020 and for 2021, I mean, here it is December the 1st, so we've got the rest of this month, which makes the year. And then as I look forward into next year, it includes a more intense focus on finding ways to achieve measurable improvement. I look back over my career thus far, and it's how I have spent my entire career, finding ways to get better. But for the past dozen years or so, I have been concentrating on helping other people figure it out. And back in the summer, this past summer, here in the pandemic of 2020, I began working to craft a framework that would accelerate the learning so leaders could more systematically achieve high-performing cultures. And you'll start hearing more and more of that content starting in January, Lord willing. Now, those are work, career, professional kinds of plans. And like you, they fuel my personal plans. My wife and I have some exciting things that we're working on personally. Now, they're things that don't matter to you. Her career, my career, are important components to the process because, well, it's by way of our professional lives that we're going to be able to hit our personal goals, at least some of them, and that's exactly the way your life works, too. As the cold creeps deeper into my socked feet, I realize, okay, it's time to go inside. It's time to get fully dressed for the day. But I'm sitting here this morning and I'm watching nature and I'm including all of these critters that I'm watching and I'm more aware than ever how it all works together. Work and play and rest. And maybe life was different a long, long time ago. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it was more compartmentalized. I'm not real sure. I only know that my work has never been disconnected from the rest of my life. And I'm betting that your life is similar. These squirrels and these birds and these chipmunks, they aren't one-dimensional, and yet they're not human. And as humans, you and I, we are even less so because our lives are so much more complex than these critters in the woods. And that's another part of leadership that we too often discount. The impact of one area of our life on the other areas. Sure, we like to think that we are capable of neatly putting things in a place and keeping them from spilling over into other areas, right? I mean, the leaders that are enduring this messy divorce, they're not immune to having that messiness enter every other area of their life. They're just not. Leaders who are suffering health challenges or who have mates or family members that are suffering health challenges, they are sure to find themselves suffering some other challenges that are provoked by that challenge. It just can't be helped. I mean, this whole notion of leave it at the door is absurd, and it's not human, and we can't do it. My commitment as we begin December 2020, a December that none of us ever saw coming, given this pandemic, is to serve more people, to find ways where challenges can be better managed, where opportunities can be better seized. Now, it's an easy commitment for me to make because I know a secret. Who you surround yourself with makes the difference. Who you surround yourself with makes the difference. I want you to surround yourself with people who make a positive difference, people who are capable and willing to help you overcome, endure, and persevere. Part of my plan for my own life is to continue the process of saying no to some things and some people so I can say yes to more profitable things and more profitable people, things that I know will make me better, things that will help me grow. And that's my wish for you too. And I hope that this podcast, Grow Great, growgreat.com, I hope that it's helping you in some small way. So there it is for December the 1st, 2020. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Be well, do good, grow great. And greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.